I want to let you know we have purchased several of Joel Osteen's new book, Think Better, Live Better. Outstanding, outstanding book. I'm not done with it, but halfway done with it, and it is outstanding. So we purchased a lot of these books, and what we plan on doing with these books are giving them away. That's a cool idea, huh? But here's who we're going to give away to. We're going to give it away to people who come here to Hope for the first time. And they're doing a big social media push. We're on that list. And so people will know that Hope Community Church is giving the book away. The release date is, I think, October the 4th. So we'll have that, and we'll give it away the 9th. So if you're here for the first time, which will not include you, amen, but I'm believing that there's going to be a lot of people that come. How many know this is a good church to come to? Well, there's many people around this area, and they're watching Joel Osteen every single week. They love him. But they don't have a good church. I've talked to Joel personally, Pastor Joel personally, and let me tell you his heart. His heart, he understands this, that he can give a message on Sunday over the airwaves, can reach people, but he understands those people who say, and watch him every single week, without a doubt, he says, I don't ever want to close a broadcast that I don't give you an opportunity to accept Jesus Christ in your heart. Every time. And then he says, get in a good Bible-believing church. Here's why, because he knows. These people that are just watching him on Sunday or whenever they watch him, but they're not coming into church. Listen, people need a pastor. People need pastors. People need you know what? It's critical. And Pastor Joel knows it. So he is trying to connect all these people that are watching his broadcast to a good Bible-believing church. And if we can give them a book, you know what, to help get them here, how many know that's a no-brainer, amen? I said, how many know that's a no-brainer? I said, how many know that's a no-brainer? Come on. How many know we need to have a heart for these people? We need to have a heart for these people. It's not just about us. It's about, that's why we're doing this. Everything we do is to get people into the kingdom of God and then grow them up in the things of God. So we'll be giving this book away. You say, Pastor, but what if I want that book? Well, if you want this book, you know what? We're going to have those books for you, and we're going to give them regularly, hardback cover, normally $24. We're going to sell them to you for $10. So you know what? And it's a great book, so it's just awesome. You'll love it, okay? What I'm thinking about doing just for a limited time, if you would like to purchase two books, I really shouldn't do this, but I'm so tenderhearted. I'm going to sell you two books for $20. How I am. One for 10, but I will sell you two for 20. All right. How many ready to learn some stuff today? Okay. So we're talking about... This is the Power Series. Everybody say the Power Series. Okay. And I want you to look at, I want to do some review. Can I review for a little bit? So somebody help me out. Somebody who's really smart. Tell me what's the first power we talked about. The power of what? Okay. Expectation, the power of expectancy. Okay. So we talked about that first. Remember the woman with the issue of blood? She said, when I touch the hem of his garment, I'm going to be healed. And what happened? She was healed. When was she healed? When she touched the hem of his garment. Was she healed before she touched the hem? No. She was healed immediately when she touched the hem of his garment. And then Jesus, specifically making sure that she would know, but making sure that everybody around there knew, and making sure that we would know, says to her, let me tell you why you're healed. You're healed because of your faith. You expected to be healed. And so there's power in expectation. I want everybody around here to know it. I want you to know it. And guess what? We get to know it. Everybody say power of expectation. Then we talked about the power of what? Thanksgiving. Everybody say Thanksgiving.
Okay.
How many know God loves it when we're grateful for what he's done? And he loves it for what he's doing. How many know God's doing something in your life right now? And how many know God is going to do something in your life? And it's awesome when you're grateful for what he's done, for what he's doing, but for what he's going to do. God loves it when you just have a grateful heart. You know what I mean? Remember when he healed all those lepers and one came back? It was like, hey, guys. Or he was talking to one guy. He was like, hey, where are the others? Here's why. Because God understands the power of our gratefulness. And then we talked about the power of what? What's the third thing we talked about? The power of not looking at your circumstances. Everybody say, not looking at my circumstances. Okay, so you have this stuff going on, but it's very powerful when you are not look at that. The Bible says, the just shall live by their faith. The Bible says, faith is the evidence of things hoped for, the assurance of things, what? Not seen. Everybody say not seen. But so many people, they don't walk in that power. They're just too, so busy looking at what's going on that they can't ever see what God wants to do in their life. Okay, and there's something very powerful about not looking at your circumstances. And then we talked about the power of what? Simply asking. God says you have not because you ask not. And then Jesus said this. He said, you know what? If you know how to give good gifts to your sons, being evil, how much more will the Heavenly Father give to those, what? To those, everybody say, who ask. Not anybody, but those who ask. There's something very powerful, but just simply, what do you want? Start asking God. Understand, God's a relational God. He is your Heavenly Father. He wants to give you good things. He's quick to give you good things. But to those who ask, there's power in asking. And then finally, and then we talked about the power of what? Singing. Everybody say, the power of singing. Come on, everybody, say, the power of singing. See? I told you it's powerful, amen? You see how just doing that just changed the atmosphere. It's like, that's goofy, but that's fun, amen? And there's power about singing, especially when you sing about the goodness of God, amen? And then finally, last week, or not last week, but the week before, we had Pastor Phil Muncy with us last week, but the week before we talked the power of what?
Church.
Everybody say the power of church. Okay, and we saw the importance of you making a decision that church is going to be a priority in your life, and you weren't going to say, well, I'd say, if I'm not doing anything, then I'll go. No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the accumulation. Everybody say the accumulation. Okay, of systematically, you know what, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. And all of a sudden, your mind gets renewed. And how does it get renewed? It gets renewed through church, through the preaching of the Word of God. But some of the most relevant revelations that you've ever got, life-changing revelations, is when you sat right there. And who sat you there? You sat yourself there. There's power of church and you submitting and sitting down under leadership, God-given leadership, and it just flows. It's awesome and it's very powerful. That's what the new church did. That's what the early church did. You know what? They sat under the teaching of the apostles, and they were consistent in doing that. So that's very powerful. Today I want to talk to you about the power of a label. Everybody say the power of a label. Okay. Labels are so powerful. Some of you were labeled something when you were in junior high. When you were in high school, when you were in college, when you were in the sixth grade, when you were in the fourth grade, when you were in the second grade. And those labels are so powerful, they are still follow you. How many have a nickname in it and people still call you by your nickname? Okay. What was that? It's just a label. And you ever hear, man, they started calling me this and I got stuck with it. I remember I won't tell you that story. Anyway. I was tempted, but I got a lot of good stories, so don't sweat it. Amen. So but there's nicknames that you've had, there's labels that you've had, and what I want to show you today how powerful labels are. And that's true in the negative, but that's also true in the positive. These labels are powerful. And we've all been labeled things. But I want to show you in God's word what he labels to you. Because let me tell you what, God has some labels for you, and I want you to see that. Let's take our notes out and take our pens out, and let's start with this. I want you to write this down. If you're taking notes, write this down, okay? If you're not taking notes, write this down, okay? Many times, the labels that man gives us do not agree with what God says about you. So man says something about you, but God says something about you. And those things are not the same. Look what the Bible says in Romans chapter 3, verse 4. Romans chapter 3, verse 4. I'm reading out of the New King James. And he says in verse 4, certainly not. Let God be true and every man a what? A liar. And notice that word let. Everybody say let. And as I've taught you before, anytime that you see let, understand God is saying, this is up to you. This is your choice. And what God is saying is that, no, let what I say about you be true. Take that label off, but every man a liar. Let God be true, but every man a liar. Yeah, but Pastor, you don't understand. I was having this pain in my hip. I went to the doctor, but you don't understand, Pastor. The doctor took x-rays, and he showed me the x-rays. He gave me this medicine, but he said, this medicine is just going to, we can't cure it. We can only treat it. We can't cure it, we can only treat it. We can't cure it, we can only treat it. How many know that's a good reason not to listen to man? Yeah, that's right. Come on. Somebody say amen to somebody. Amen. Or you know what? Or something like this. Here's a label. Here's what they say. Here's what you need to understand. You need to live with that pain. And what happens is, because we've exalted man, and I'm not trying to belittle doctors. I'm trying to belittle any time that we exalt anything that any man says over what God says. We need to rethink what we're doing. Let God be true and every man a liar. And you can smile at that doctor, because what's that doctor? Doctor is just doing the best job he can. He doesn't know. You know what? He's just looking at what he's seeing. He's actually trying to help you. But you need to smile, and you might even say him. You might even say to him, you know what? Well, doctor, I appreciate you doing the best you can, but you know what? But I know another doctor. His name's Dr. Jesus. Okay? And Dr. Jesus says that I don't have to live with this pain. Amen. Amen. You know what? Okay? And then as you're walking out, you've got to renew your mind and say, no, God says, by his stripes, I am healed. Amen. The Bible says that, you know what? God sent his word to heal me. See, we have to renew our mind. Just answer me this. Just answer me. What sickness and disease did Jesus ever run into? Understand this. When you see Jesus, you see God. And what disease did Jesus ever run into where he threw up his hands and said, I tell you what, this one, there's nothing we can do about this. The woman with the issue of blood. The woman with the issue of blood. She had gone to all these doctors. You know what? They took all her money. Yes, well, we do this. It'll do this, do this. And you know what? And 12 years later, she was out of money. And she was, you know what? But here's what she did. She came to Dr. Jesus. Amen. Amen. Right. Let God be true and every man a liar. Jesus didn't look at her and say, oh, man, those doctors, they tried. And I can't do anything either. What sickness and disease did Jesus come up to you and say, you just got to live with the pain? Everybody say none. Blindness, leprosy, you know what? People who couldn't walk, none of it. The ultimate. You know what? You know, how much more sick are you going to get than dead? Amen? Amen? How many know you're really sick when you're dead? And what did Jesus do? And Jesus, even at that, he says, no, understand, you know what, that and God didn't intend for you to, God wants you to, what I just read, let God be true and every man a liar. And that's up to you. Well, you know what, Pastor, and that's what happens over a period of time. And we'll go home, and our relatives will ask us, you know what did doctor say? Well, and he said, you know what I mean? And he said, I have to live with it. We've got to take these pills. Got to take 8 pills a day. Got to go to, got to do this. Got to do that. Got to do this. You know what? And I'm not even saying God can't use doctors. But here's what I am saying. Listen to me careful. When that doctor says, there's no cure for this, you have to live with this, you need to say, no, Dr. Jesus says, by his stripes I'm healed. Amen. Amen. See, what are you doing? You're taking that label off. You're taking that label off of unhealthy. Take that unhealthy label off. Put that label on that says, I'm healthy. Why? Not because of what you do, but because of what he did. Amen? Amen? Amen. And over and over again, over and over and over again, you know what? That God would heal everyone, and then they would all tell their friends, and the Bible says that that everyone would come from all the surrounding towns with all these sicknesses and diseases, with all those who were sick. And guess what? And you're going to read, Jesus says, the Bible says, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and God healed them all. You know why he healed them all? Here's why. Because it's God's will that those people be in health. That's what the Bible says. And the Bible also says that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Okay. So let God be true. And every man a liar. Is somebody getting this? Listen, I know I'm swimming upstream. I know you have been bombarded with this thought of, no, you just have to accept it. I'm saying don't accept it. I'm saying it's your choice. Don't let that, let God be true in every man a liar. Take off that label. Take off that label of insufficient, not enough. You know what? Dorky, dorky, dorky. Take it off. Amen? Amen? And start putting that label on. Yeah, but I've tried 3 businesses and they've all failed. Well, guess what? You know what? Pray in tongues and try a 4th. Amen? Amen? Yeah, but whoa. Don't put on that label. First Samuel chapter 16. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verses 10 and 11. Look at this. And Jesse made 7 of his sons pass before Samuel. He made 7. Everybody say 7. What's the problem? Okay, he's missing one. He's missing one. And Jesse made 7 of his sons pass before Samuel. Samuel's the prophet. And he recognizes that, you know what, there's someone in Jesse's family that is going to be anointed. He's going to anoint him king. So it goes through all these 7, and Samuel said to Jesse, the Lord has not chosen these. And Samuel said to Jesse, are all of your son, of your young men here? Are all your sons here? Then he said, there remains yet the youngest, and there he is keeping the sheep. He's out there keeping the sheep. Listen, I've labeled this guy, you know what? He is, let me tell you what, he is not in front of you because I already know he's not the guy. Well, how many know he was the guy? See, man says, you're not the guy. Well, don't listen to what man says. What is God saying to you? God says, exactly. God says, you the man. Amen? Matter of fact, I could change this sermon to you the man. Amen. That'd be good. Pastor George, that'd be a good name for this sermon, huh? You the man. Amen. And you the woman. Amen. But here's the thing. See, Jesse can't see it, but Samuel sees it. Samuel's a representation of God. God sees it. And you got all kinds of, whoever grew up with some friends in junior high, you know what? That were dorky. Amen. Come on, did you have friends in junior high that called you name? You're just this, you're just that. Hey, shake that off, amen? Stop listening to what man says. Maybe a teacher, maybe a coach, maybe even a parent. Said, no, you're like this. You're a slow learner. You know what? You'll never amount to nothing. You know what? No, your sister's smarter than you. Your brother's smarter than you. You know what I mean? You'll never. Hey, shake it off. You the man. You the woman. Don't listen to them. They don't know. And there remains the youngest. And there he is keeping the sheep. He doesn't even deserve to be part of this. And Samuel says to Jesse, you know what? Send and bring him. When Jesse sees him, he recognizes, you know what? Or I mean, when Samuel sees him, he recognizes, this is the guy. I'm going to anoint him. Look at this next. I love this. For we will not sit down till he comes here. What's God saying? I don't care what they say. I ain't sitting down. You the man. You know, it's interesting to me when Joel Osteen, you know, how many of Joel Osteen has a little church in Texas? 45,000 people go to that service a weekend. 45,000 people he preaches to. How many know that's cool? Amen. But here's what I want you to know. When his father passed away, and his father passed away suddenly, and when his father passed away, that church was about 1,000 people. Everybody say 1,000 people. Now, how many know 1,000 people is in America a pretty big church? But how many know it ain't anything close to 45,000? And here's what you need to know. At that point in time, you know what? Joel Osteen was working behind the scenes. He wasn't used to ministering. He wasn't used to preaching. He wasn't used to pastoring. He wasn't used to giving sermons. He wasn't used to any of that. But he felt like the Holy Spirit had called them to take that position. But he still feels very insecure. Two ladies, you know what, in the lobby said this of Joel Osteen after one of his sermons. Imagine this. Here's what they said. You know what? He's not as good as his father. Then the other lady responded to that and said, yeah, I don't think this church is going to last. Now, here's what I want you to catch. How many know I Googled this to you this week? Not Googled. What did I do? I tweeted. Okay. I tweeted this to you. Okay. If you're not getting my tweets, get a Twitter account and start following me on Twitter. Okay. But here's what I said. This week, I said, you know what? Sticks and stones. Oh, I tweeted this too. I sent you an email on this too. Sticks and stones will hurt your bones. Sticks and stones might break your bones, but words hurt more than anything. Here's what I'm saying. Those two ladies could have derailed the plan of God in Joel's life. Listen to me. Had he allowed them to. Let me ask you this. Are you allowing somebody in junior high who didn't know what he's talking about, put a label on you that is hindering you from being what God has called you to be? Imagine that. Can I tell you what? How many know? I mean this with no disrespect. Well, actually, kind of a little disrespect, but just a little. But how many know this? Those ladies in the lobby, they didn't know nothing. Oh, I had another title for this. You know, two ladies in the lobby. Okay, you know, can two ladies in the lobby, you know what, steal your destiny? Here's what I'm saying. This might sound radical. Here's what I'm saying. Two ladies in the lobby can steal your destiny if you'll allow them to label you. Because you take that label. The Bible says, as a man perceives, so he is. And so you take that label on and you start to think, and listen, and some of these labels, I'm telling you what, they're ingrained in your families or in the family members around you. Listen, David's dad can't see the anointing on his life. David's brothers can't see the anointing on his life. And even after the prophet anoints him with oil as the king, later David goes to his brothers. They're in the army. He's still doing the sheep thing. He goes to them with some cheese sandwiches. And you know what his brothers say to him? Listen to what his brothers say to him. His brothers say, Listen how derogatory this is. What in the world are you, what are you doing here? Who'd you get? Listen how derogatory. Who'd you get to watch the few sheep that you're watching? What are they saying? Your position, you're just a sheep watcher. And you don't even have a lot of sheep to watch. That's how insignificant you are. Can I tell you what? Aren't you glad David didn't take that label? Aren't you glad David did? Listen, one of the most inspiring stories we have in the whole Bible was because David didn't take that label. He could have walked back there and said, man, I don't know what I'm thinking. You know what? This weird thing happened to me one day. Listen to me. This weird thing happened to me one day. You know, God is speaking to some people in this room. And you're throwing it off as some weird thing that happened to you one day. And I remember I was at a church. I was at Pastor Bradford's church. And he's gone to be with the Lord. But I'm at Pastor Bradford's church. And you know what? What am I doing? I'm scrubbing toilets. You know what? Blowing off, cleaning brass, cleaning for 6 years. And in those 6 years, you know what? There's these leaders in the church. And God is raising these leaders up. And they are dynamic teachers of the gospel. Well, Pastor, was God raising you up? Yes, he was. Well, did you preach? No, I was just cleaning the glass and the brass and the, you know what I mean? And I remember Satan used to get on me and say, you know what? You're really not called to preach. You're really not a very good, you really are not a very, you just got something in your mind and now you think, and look, they don't even see it. That's why you're still cleaning the brass. That's why you're still cleaning the glass. That's why you're still vacuuming. That's what you are. You do good in setting up chairs and vacuuming. Wow. Pastor, what'd you do? I got a tape that I had preached. Back in the day, we did cassette tapes. And I got a tape that I had preached. And I put it in. And I reminded myself that I was called to preach. How'd you do that? I listened to it over and over and over and over and over again. Listen, this is going to sound egotistical, but listen, it was a good sermon, anointed, good sermon. But see, Satan wouldn't tell you that. Satan will just tell you, no, that time that you heard from God, man, you know, oh yeah, you're supposed to do that. That was just a weird day. And you're making a mountain out of a molehill. You're not called to do that. No, let me tell you what. And he could say the same thing. That was just a weird day, you know what I mean? And that, listen, you are a sheep guy. Aren't you glad David didn't listen to them? What's David do? And listen, and those friends and family understand you are called to inspire them. Don't let them tell you what you are. You inspire them to be more than they are thinking even they are. So what does David do? You know the story. David goes, puts a whooping on Goliath. You know what I mean? Like, oh, where's the sword? There's no sword. Oh, I'll use his sword. I love it. Takes the sword. You know what I mean? Look what I got, guys. Here's the thing. Here's the thing that I don't know if you know. Up to that point, they're all hiding behind rocks. They're scared of the Philistines. When they see David with Goliath's head, they jump out of those rocks and they start running after the Philistines. Can I tell you what? You are called to inspire your goofball junior high friends. Amen. Did somebody have a goofball junior high friend? I did. Are you learning something today? Number two, words are like seeds. If you dwell on them long enough, they'll take root. They're going to take root. You know what? In Judges, you know what? In Judges, you know, what was her name? Rahab. She's a prostitute. And somebody say, no, God can't use people with sordid past. No, God can't use, no, God couldn't use her. You know, she was a prostitute. God can't use, that's what Satan telling you. God can't use you. You did this, you did that, you did this. Listen, read your Bible. The Bible's full, you know what? God, that's who he uses. I mean, no, God uses imperfect people. No, God wanted to use her. I love what she does. So they come, they're looking for the two spies. She's like, oh, let me tell you what happened. I saw them. I love your story. I saw them, and they left. They got out in the gate, but it was getting dark. You better quickly. The gates quickly go after them. Whole time she's telling them, where are they? She got them hidden in her house. Go, go get them. Go run. Okay. God says, you know what? Listen, let me tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to bless you. When I destroy the whole city, you are not going to be destroyed. And I'm going to protect your family. And not only am I going to do that, God, what happened that day? God used somebody. Aren't you glad she didn't put that label on, say, no, I can't be used by God? No, you can be used by God. And it's so interesting because God is so cool. You know what God does? God, guess who is in the lineage of Jesus Christ? Rahab. You know what? She marries a Jewish man. They have a child. You know what? Then that child gets married. Then that child gets married. When they have a child, that child is Jesse. Jesse. Jesse's got a son. You know what Jesse's son's name is? Red. David. And you go down and guess what? Jesus. See? But here's what I'm saying. For some of you, here's what you need to understand. These words are like seeds. And for some of you, this stuff has been going on since junior. You haven't shaked labels that have been labeled to you from junior high. And they're now so embedded. We over in the youth hangout, we took up the carpet. And we're going to have just a beautiful concrete floor. How are you going to get it beautiful? Here's what we're going to do. Because there's all kinds of embeddedness. If you went over there, I could show you there's this funky tile that they had there for years. And it doesn't look nice. So, Pastor, how are you going to fix that? You know what? We're going to get these big, powerful. These sanders are so powerful that you can't plug them into the wall socket. You got to plug them into the power source. And they sand it all, and they get rid of all the imperfections. You know what? And then they sand it a little bit less and a little bit less with finer and finer sandpaper. And pretty soon, that floor that was filled with all kinds of junk, all of a sudden, is going to look beautiful. Amen. Well, that's your life. And some things are embedded in you, and you think that, no, let me tell you what. The power of the anointing of God can sandpaper any of those things. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And finally this. If you're gonna take off that, if you're gonna walk in the calling that God has called you to, here's what you have to do. You have to take off that label. And you have to put on the label that God has said. Because God says some things about you too. How many know your friends in junior high can say some stuff about you, but God's got some stuff to say about you? How many know this is true? And what you have to do is you have to be willing to take that label off. Some of these labels are very powerful because they're people that you hung out with. They're people who, they might be your best friends might notice. And you know what? And your friends and family members, what are they going to know? They see your shortcomings. You're like, you see them. You're like, you know what? They call me this, but they're right. I am a dork. You know what I mean? No. Listen. Understand this, that you and I have something called iniquities. They're shortcomings. They're weaknesses that come down through generations. You know what? Maybe your parents, maybe your grandparents, maybe even your great-grandparents. And you notice them. Here's what I want to say. The blood of Jesus cleanses you from all unrighteousness. Can you say amen to that? And God has some things to say about you. Look at Joshua chapter 2. Joshua chapter 2. And this is verse 4 and 5. And the woman took the two men and hid them. So she said, yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they were from. And it happened as the gate was being shut, Here's what I told you. And she and it was dark that the men went out, and the men went and the men went, I do not know, pursue them quickly, for you may overtake them. See, understand this. At some point in time, this lady had to say, I can be used by God. You've got to take that off and put the label that God said about you. You know, when I was in the second grade, the weirdest thing happened. It's like so weird. I'm like, man, my teacher doesn't get my potential. Come on, can somebody relate? She don't even get my potential, man. She don't know. I'm in the wrong group. You know what I mean? I don't understand this. What am I doing in the slowest reading group? I don't know if you remember, but when I went to elementary school, you had these groups, you know what I mean? And there were this group and that group and this group. I'm like, man, what is she got to be? Is she having a bad hair day? I'm in the wrong group. You know what I mean? What do you put me in this group? What group was that? That was the slowest reader group. Okay? The slow learning group. That's what group I was in. Okay. You said, Pastor, why did she put you? Well, let me tell you why she put me in that group. She put me in that group because I was a slow reader. Okay. She just didn't see my potential. What am I saying? I'm saying that by the end of the year, I was still a slow reader. I was such a slow, I had such problems with my, phonics that I just, you know what? She assessed that I need to, you know what? The truth was, I was so special. She really liked me a lot. She wanted to have me for another year. When I was in the grocery store, I told you the story before. They used to put me on Quick Check all the time. Quick Check was the worst place you can go. You know what I mean? And so, but that was on check stand number one. And you used to grab your till from the office, and I'd grab my till from the office, and I'd have to walk down from, you know, check stand 9 to 8 to 7, and there were all the checkers there, and I had my till, and I'd say, that's right. You know what? They put me in number one. So I'm number one. You know what I mean? Of course, they all knew that's not why they put me down there. But anyway, here's the deal. And my parents were gracious, you know what I mean, tried to emphasize all my, you know what I mean, all my positive qualities, you know what I mean? They tried to do that. But how many know, a rose by any other name is still a rose, you know what I mean? I still know what group I'm in. What am I saying? That label just stayed with me, you know what, through elementary school, through junior high, through high school. And then after I graduated from high school, you know what? And I went to, I went to that academic power, you know, powerhouse, you know what, Pioneer High School, you know what I mean? Okay. But here's my point. My point is, when I graduated from Pioneer High School, and I enrolled immediately into the junior college. And when I was in junior college, I did the same thing. I didn't really like school. I didn't excel in school, and I dropped out. Well, then I'm a dropout. So I enrolled again the next semester. And then I drop out and I enrolled in, you know, again, 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 or whatever, 8 times, 9 times. And so I started to have this, I'm just a failure mentality. So what happens? So God calls me, and I know I'm called to preach. And God calls me to Life Bible College. So I go to Life Bible College, and I'm in a room just about like this, you know what? With about 100 freshmen. And I'm sitting there thinking, what am I doing here? I'm out of my league. Here's what's probably gonna happen. I'm probably gonna, just like I did over and over and over again, I'm gonna start this and I'm not gonna finish it. I'm gonna drop out and I'm gonna be embarrassed. I was so insecure. My father pastored, you know what? But even my parents, you know what? Who you think I'd run and say, hey, guess what, mom, dad, I'm enrolled in Bible college. Guess what? I didn't even tell my parents. Well, why didn't you tell your parents? It wasn't because I was ashamed of it, because I anticipated that I probably was just going to drop out. And I didn't want the shame on me that I failed in that too. I didn't even tell my parents. So, Pastor, well, so what happened? Well, so I'm enrolled at Life, you know what I mean? And I have to take this English aptitude test because they have to place me. You have to take English 101, which is English composition. You have to learn how to write a paper with footnotes and all that. So I take this English class, and guess what? Out of about 100 students, I am one of only eight, everybody say eight, that failed the English proficiency test. So guess what I get to do? I get to take, guess what group I'm in? You know what I mean? I'm in the same group that I was in second grade. And understand this, and listen to me. And I don't tell this story that you would be sad, okay? So don't be, I'm okay, all right? All right. But listen, okay? But listen to me. I tell this story because here's the truth. Understand this, Satan doesn't fight fair. You know, I wasn't a dumb kid. I wasn't acting, well, your problem with you, Drew, is, and when you were in the second grade, you were just academically lazy. Are you kidding? I was in the second grade, you know what I mean? I wasn't academically lazy. I just wasn't a good reader, that's all. You know, big whoop-de-doo-da-day, amen? No, really. Does that make sense? No big deal. God's not like, oh, what are we going to do? He can't pastor now. He can't read. I could read, but just not very well. Sort of, exactly. But all I'm saying, all I'm telling you that story is to tell you this. Then I get into Bible college, and here's because God doesn't fight fair. Listen, I mean, Satan doesn't fight fair. There's some of the things that you're still dealing with, and you know what? And Satan just beat you up when you were in the second grade and the third grade. It doesn't have anything to do with you, but you put that label on, and you're still carrying that label. And I'm just saying, he's a liar. That's not who you are. Don't identify with that. Take that label off. So I'm a freshman. You know what? And listen, and I'm already 26, 7 years old, and I'm a freshman. You know, I'm working in Newport Beach. I'm a checker. I see these young kids. They're 22 years old, and they're already a senior at UCI. UCI. You know how hard it is to get into UC Irvine? And they're 22, and they're a senior. I'm 26, and I've dropped out of, you know what, whatever the college is, you know what, the community college 8 times. Now I flunked the proficiency test, the English proficiency test, and guess what group I'm? Now I'm part of 8. And Satan would just beat me up. Can I tell you what? Satan wants to get you before you get started. Amen. That's what he's aiming for. Because let me tell you what, he understands. He is scared spitless of you. Amen. Amen. He is. So watch this. So then I have this other class, because I have other classes, and in this other class, we're in quarter system, not semester, quarter system. And the quarter system, it's just 8 weeks. So it's a class called Old Testament Survey, and we are going to go through the Old Testament. We're going to survey the Old Testament very quickly in 8 weeks. In 2 weeks, I take my first test. I get a D-. I get a D-, and I'm not even getting credit for the English class because it's not a college course. And walks in Dr. Best. And Dr. Best, true story, taught at Life Bible College for 1 quarter. Guess what quarter she taught at? The quarter that I was a freshman. The quarter that I was in her class. And Dr. Best acted like we were the academic giants in that class. And here's what she said. She said, understand this. If you can speak good, you can write good. If you can write good, you can read good. If you can read good, you can spell good. And if you can spell good, you can speak good. And if you can speak good, you can write good. If you can write good, you can read good. And if you can read good, you can spell good. And if you can spell good, you can speak good. She said, understand, these things are all connected. And all you have to do is just work on your speaking ability and work on your reading ability and work on your writing ability, and it just will spiral upward. Man, how many know I needed Dr. Bess? Can I tell you what, Dr. Bess couldn't take that, that slow learner. She couldn't take it off of me. But she helped take it off of me. It was up to me to take it off of me. And I took it off of me. Yeah, but what about that D? What about that D minus? What about that D minus? I went to the professor, who was a nice guy. And he said, you know what, Drew? You don't understand. I give you all the answers. Let me show you the test. And he showed me the test. And he said, you're going to have five tests in this class. You've already had one. You're going to have five tests. And they're all going to be the same. I would do this, I do this, I do this. And he laid it all out. And he said, here's the thing. But, you know, look at your old test. Look at where the answers are. And he showed me where the answers were. And he said, I'm not trying to trick anybody in this class. I'm just trying to get you to get the information that you need. And you to learn this information. How many know that was the last D minus I got in that class? What happened in that class? Well, in that class, you know what? The next test, I got a C plus. The test after that, I got a B plus. And then the last two tests, I got A's. And then what did he do? And then, I didn't know he was going to do this, but then he said, hey, you guys, you didn't really know how I test, and I just understand everybody has a bad hair day, so, you know, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to throw your worst test out. It's a happy day. Okay, right? So, you know what? So what happens? What happens is I end up almost got an A in that class, got a B in that class, got an A in my English class, got an A in a bunch of the other classes, and guess what? And I'm on the honor roll. True story. You know what? See, here's the truth. You know what? I love Bible college. I excelled at Bible college. I was smart. But I had to take off that label, amen? I graduated at life in 4 years. I mean, I just went boom, 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 got all my credits done, graduated in 4 years. I had friends who graduated just because, not because they were non-intelligent, but just because of distraction. You know what? I graduated in 4 years. Out of all those 100 students that were there, many of them didn't even graduate from life that I'm fully convinced were just as called as I am. See, what is God saying about you? You guys got five more minutes? Turn to Revelation. Let me show you a couple of scriptures in Revelation. Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5, and look at verse 9. Revelation chapter 5, look at verse 9. Look what it says. And they sang a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and you redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and every tongue. Every tribe and every tongue. You know what that means? That means you. Okay. Out of every tribe and every tongue, and people and nation, and have made us, everybody say us, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. What are you? You're a king. You're a priest. And you're going to reign with God, with Jesus, on, everybody say with him. With him. Well, but I'm just, Listen, you ain't just nothing. Let me tell you what you are. You're a king and you're a priest and you're going to reign with God. And I'm going to reign with God. See, Satan has some things to say about you, but God has some things to say about you too. Amen. See, let God be true and every man a liar. Start to find out what does God say about you? Let me tell you what God says about you. You're a priest. You're a king. You're going to reign with him. Now, let me show you another portion of scripture. This is in Revelation. Flip on over to Revelation chapter 17. 17, look at this. And these will make war with the Lamb. And the Lamb will overcome them. And he is Lord of lords and King of kings. See, I always knew that Jesus was King of kings. But how many know you interpret stuff sometimes wrongly? And I want to interpret that to say, oh yeah, Jesus is King of kings. Jesus is king over the kingly earth realms that are on this earth. That president or that prime minister or whatever. He is king of those kings. No. He is king. Are you ready? Of kings. See, we're kings. We're priests. He is king of kings. Are you getting something out of this? See, that's what God says about you. Let God be true and every man a liar. Stop saying what your guy in junior high says. Stop saying what your parents said about you. Stop saying what that coach said about you. Start saying what God said about you. You're king of kings. He is a king amongst kings. And God says, we are kings. Now watch this. He says this, and those who are with him, are you with him? Are called, what's he call them? See, he's got a name for you. Here's what he calls you. He's got a label for you. Here's how he labels you. You are chosen. You are faithful. You're chosen. What are you chosen for? You're chosen to do great things in the kingdom of God. How many know God has some work for us to do? And God chose you to do that work. And what else are you? You're chosen. What else are you? Come on, say it. That's what you are. Start to put that label on you. You're chosen and you are faithful. Everybody say faithful. Now, can I be honest with somebody? Can I be honest with somebody? Some of you are as flaky as a box of cornflakes. Don't shut me down when I'm preaching good. Amen. Okay, but here's what I'm saying that. I'm not saying that to label you. I'm saying that you get this. I'm saying that we would really identify with where we're at. And that's the truth. Some of you have been very flaky. Amen? You're just flaky. But can I tell you the truth? Can I tell you who you really are? And that's what you identify. You don't understand. Listen, you don't understand your calling. Let's talk about what we are to do. You don't understand your calling here to this church. Listen, I need you. We need you. You're called to greatness. You're leaders here. Let me tell you what. We are going to reach, you know what, our world with the explosive power of God's word and love, and we're going to do it one at a time. It's not my responsibility to reach them. It's our responsibility to reach them. And you've got to lead this way. You've got to start to see yourself. You know why I'm here? Can I tell you why I'm here? I'm here because I had a friend. I had a friend who saw what I was called to be and spoke what I was called to be over me instead of what I was. Hello? I mean, I was flaky. I mean, I love God, but you know what? I just wasn't. I know nobody can relate. Amen. I just wasn't, show up. And I was pretty faithful to church. But some of you just have this mentality. Well, I show up, you know, if nothing's going on, I do when I can. You know, God knows my heart. You know, it's just flakiness. And God hasn't called you to be flaky. That's not what God has called you. But let me tell you what, I had a good friend, and he saw it. And I'd be walking at life on campus, and he'd say, "Oh, look, that's a man of God right there." And he'd get all serious about it too. "And that's a man of God right there." I'm like, "Who are you? Is he done me?" Because that's how I felt. Here's why. Because I didn't give myself that label. I had all kinds of other labels that I put on me. But he started seeing what I was. Let me be that man to you. Let me tell you who you are. And this is the truth. Let me tell you who you are. You're chosen. Let me tell you who else you are. You are faithful. No, I'm serious. You are faithful. See, you need to start seeing you. You need to let God be true and every man a liar. God, what does God say about you? Does he call you flaky? He says, if you're with him, you're what? You're chosen and you're faithful. Can I tell you what's happening here? God is calling people to be faithful. God is calling people to stand up and to start to be serious about the things of God. How many know we only have so much time left? God has called you to be faithful. Let's stand up to our feet. Come on, kings. Come on, priests. Stand up to your feet. I mean it. Stand up straight. Stand up like who you are. Understand this. I ran out of time, but I wanted to go over to Burger King and get you a bunch of hats. Amen. Come on, you. Amen. Say this. Say, I'm a king. Okay, now I got a lapel, you know what I mean? Some of you don't, but even if you don't, act like you do, okay? Okay, I say, I'm a king. I'm a priest. Okay. I'm chosen. I'm chosen by God. I am faithful. I'm called. And I'm going to fulfill what God has called me to. Now say this, we're called to do great things. And we're going to fulfill those great things. Because greater is he than in us, than he that's in the world. I am the head. Come on, say it. I am the head. Listen, don't let two ladies in the lobby jack you up. Keep you from what you're called to. No, you are the head. Say, I am the head. I'm not the tail. I'm above. I'm not beneath. I'm a lender. Oh, see, some of you, that barely came out. You're like, but I am the lender. Whoa. Some of you thinking, I am the borrower. There's no way I'm going to get out of debt. Okay. Did you not read my third point? Take it off. Say what God says about you. You are above, not beneath. You are the lender. Say, I'm the lender. Say, I'm the lender. Raise up your hand. Say, I'm the lender. Shake your head. Say, I'm the lender. Give it with some attitude. Say, I'm the lender. Then you're disgust. I ain't the borrower. See, that's who you are. That's who God says you are. Exalt God. Let God be true and every man a liar. Say what God says about you. That's the truth. That's who you are. You know what? Don't allow your body or what the doctor said or what your neighbor said or what your goofball friend in junior high said or two ladies in the lobby. Don't let any of them tell you who you are. You say what God says. That's who I am. That's who I am. I decree and declare that we will fulfill what God has called us to do. Yeah, but Pastor, I'm never gonna meet somebody good. Shutteth thou uppeth. Amen. Amen. You know what? You know, and if some goofball, unchristian, unsaved guy asks you out, ladies, you tell them, No thanketh thou you. Amen. I'm serious. I'm serious. See, you listen, listen. This is a side note, but somebody needs to hear this. No. You listen. You're a princess. So stop dating the frogs. Amen. Amen. Don't date the frogs. You're looking for the prince. Amen. And don't settle for anything but the prince. Amen.
Yeah, but I'm only 30 something.
Oh my goodness. Don't listen. Let God be true in every man. Be anxious for nothing. I don't know who needs to hear that. Somebody needs to hear that. Amen. But let me tell you, you're a prince, your princesses, your kings. And Jesus is our king.
That's right.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.